Give Pastor Glover. Praise the Lord, Sterling. Let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's some power in the house tonight. Come on now. Like Pastor was saying, this ain't no mansy-pansy church. We ain't got time for Twinkies and Wuzzies here tonight. But it's Holy Ghost power. Come on now. Hallelujah. If you can't move tonight, do me a favor. And maybe some of us can't move like we're supposed to, but just kind of. Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Ooh, thank you, Sterling, Pastor Sister Glover, all your kindness through the years. This year, of course, our wonderful Via family who has always taken us in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All the fellowship, Brother Sister Bartlett, all the ministry here tonight. Amen. All the believers in Christ. I'm ready. I'm going to have church with or without you tonight. So you better move. If you don't move, you're going to make me nervous. I'm going to be here for a while. Hallelujah. Come on now. How good to have my wife off. Going to be 44 years, June the 30th. Woo! Glory. 44. My granddaughter Rihanna tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Tomorrow night, it is going to be a special service tonight. Tomorrow night. Invite somebody with you. We're going to have, after the message, I believe we had it here during the prayer, just a few. But it's going to be different tomorrow night. We're going to have a healing, anointing, and deliverance service tomorrow night. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Be in prayer. Nah, I won't say that. But I'll say it to individuals after the church. Amen. Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5. To see my good friend Brother Mike Glover tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 10. I was thinking of a few thoughts today. A thought came through my mind, Brother Greg. Everybody wants to see God. Everybody wants to spend an eternity with God. The problem is they just don't want to be with him right now. Huh? Come on now. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to see God. But everybody doesn't want to be holy. Well, I'm going to preach. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same self day. And then verse 12, and the manna, everybody say manna. And the manna ceased on the morrow after. They had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I want to talk to you on the subject. No more manna. No more manna. Pastor, would you bless the word, sir?
Lord God, we love you. Thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you for the man of God and your precious word. Anoint him now, Lord, as he presents your word. Let our hearts be open. Let our minds be attentive. And God, let the transformation of your truth work in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You may be sitting in the presence of the King tonight. Somebody give him a shout. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I love the book of Joshua.
Yeah, sure.
I really do. And as you read it, in a nutshell or in a summarized state, the message that we get from the book of Joshua to us is this: God is faithful. Hallelujah. If you really understood what I just said, you would say amen. Because, ladies and gents, tonight what we see unfold in the chapters of the book of Joshua is God bringing to pass a promise that God made 500 years to Joshua. Now, I'm going to take off fast because I don't have a long runway tonight, okay? Not a long one, so we're going to take off. That this land of Canaan would one day be inherited and inhabited by the descendants of Abraham. And that promise made some 500 years prior to Joshua. If you read early in the book of Genesis from Abraham to Joshua bringing it to pass, you will find that throughout that journey, folks, God proves himself faithful. He makes a way out of no way. I want to say to all of us in Sterling tonight, from the pulpit to the pew, from the pew to the pulpit, no matter how many obstacles we face, no matter how many people stand against us. Oh, and by the way, we're not brainwashed, we're blood washed. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Come on now, hallelujah. No matter how many people stand against us, God is faithful to perform what he has promised. And if God said he would do it, there's nothing that will prevent God from doing what he said he would do. Woo! Hallelujah. God had a promise for them, but they were not ready for it. It's funny. In saying that statement that I just made, God had a promise for them, but they were not ready for it. How many times do you and I come to church expecting little? You know why? Because it's just another church service. It's just another praise song. It's just another sermon. We don't, and I know these guys around here, we don't preach sermonettes, so it ain't no Christian that's in the house tonight. Come on now. We don't come in here with a stew and teach for 15 minutes after you done had entertainment for 2 hours. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now, talk to me, somebody. Amen. They were not ready for it. So he leads them by a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? How? For what? And why, Lamas? That they may learn to trust in the Lord with all their heart. He what? He protected or he shielded them from their enemies who would do them harm. So that they may know that he is our light and our salvation. Woo, hallelujah. Whom shall we fear? He brings water out of the rock to teach them that with God all things are possible. And the greatest lesson in our text, folks, that he gives them in preparation is the lesson of manna. This food that came down from heaven. They were wondering, how are we going to make it? You ever feel like that? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? You got to pray. How are we going to make it? You got to do fasting. How are you going to make it? You got to read some word. Oh, you know what? We try to outthink and outsmart God. I got news for you. You ain't smart enough. I ain't smart enough. Are you with me here? Don't shut me down when I'm preaching in your study tonight, okay? Hallelujah. They were wondering, Brother Mike, how did they make it? Every morning, he would send down manna, folks. A reminder. Hey, Lamas. Let me talk about me before I talk about you. us. I'm going to remind you that I am God that provides for you every single day. I just don't want you to worship me in the mountaintop sea opening moments, but I want you to realize that every day there are resources that will show up in your life because I am a daily bread kind of God. I'm feeling to preach here in just a few moments. I'm going to preach here in a minute. Just hold on. Whoo, Jesus. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, too often in church, we reserve our praise for God to these marvelous, majestic things. We need God to open up the heavens and move the mountains, and God answers his prayers. I believe God is saying to us, Pastor Glover, Sterling Church, I'm looking for some people who walk in and know that even if the sea hadn't opened up, there's some daily bread that you ought to be thankful for. I want to tell folks tonight already, amen, on this night, that God has already done something worthy of some thanksgiving, but he's a daily kind of Thanksgiving prayer. God provides his daily bread and calls it. Who's really listening tonight? Manna. Somebody holler, Manna. Manna is not really a noun. It is not a name. Manna is the question. An acute translation is, quote, unquote, what is it? What is it? Huh? Because God provided it in the middle of their uncertainty. And all they wonder, Brother Mike, is, what is it? Because when you're uncertain of how it's going to happen, the only thing you are able to holler is manna. Why? Because there have been some moments, folks, that the Lord has provided for you, and you had no clue that it was even on the way. God has done some things, and there was no explanation of how and why he did what he did. Somebody ought to holler, manna. When he makes a way out of no way, manna. When he gave you the job, manna. When he expanded your business, manna. When the check showed up in the mail unexpectedly, manna. When there were some groceries put by the doorstep, manna. Yummy, yummy. For my tongue. You know what I mean? We come to church and we think it's supposed to be quiet. When I got saved, I didn't rent the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Okay. If we're going to get saved, stay saved. Right. If you're going to get delivered, stay delivered. Come on now. Well, I know you got degrees, and some of you may be CEOs, and you got four doctors, and you got some masters, and that's all great, and but you're still out of holler. Manna! Oh, yeah. I know you got bread. Who gave you those brains? God gave you those brains. Come on now. See, I'm in the book. So they begin to eat this manna for 40 years, right? That's a long time. And when they get to the promised land and Moses passes, Joshua takes over. They get ready to invade Jericho. They come over the Jordan, ready for battle. All they got to do is shout and the walls come down, right? And the Bible says, see, I'm in the Bible. Are you Bible scholars tonight? And the Bible says before they make that move, something miraculous happens. God stops. Why? Not out of punishment, ladies and gentlemen, but out of preparation. Oh, come on now. Why? Because you're about to walk into your promise. I gotta stop the manna, Lamas. You're about to find out how faithful I really am. I got to stop the manna. Now you're going to move what I declared 500 years ago. Let me give you a side note and a commercial break. Joel 2 and 28 and 29, in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon what? And your sons and daughters shall, and young men shall see, and your old man, and upon the maid servants. Where is it? Where is it? From that scripture? You go 800 years later, and they ask Peter, years later, that booger is. What did Peter say? Repent. Be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of. For the remission of. And you shall. The gift. Woo! And it's still happening today, Brother Barlett. It's still. The book of Acts is right here in Sterling, Alaska. It's still happening tonight on a Thursday night in Sterling, Alaska. Let's give you that commercial break. Okay? Let me get back to the word here. But that didn't have nothing to do with it. Well, not really, but y'all needed it, okay? So watch this. And the Lord said, in order to prepare for where you're going, and you're about to go, I need to stop the manna. Why, Lord? Why? Why are you going to do that? This is how you've been providing for us for 40 years. And now no manna? Why does the Lord stop it? He said, I got to stop the manna. Because in order for you to move into the next place, I got to put a new desire in your mouth. I got to cause you, llamas, to want something different than you had. Amen. And the Lord said to them, the reason I've got to change it is because I got to change the desire of your heart for you to want something different than you've been accustomed to. See, some of you people are so comfy here through the years and through the months. So comfy that, amen, but there is a miracle waiting for you. There is a breakthrough waiting for you if you can just get out of your comfort zone. You've had manna for so long. Manna. God is ready to move you into a new position, into a new area, into a new dimension, into the see, we're not supposed to have church as normal. What's happening to the apostolic church? We're having church as normal. It was never meant for us to have church as normal. It was always meant for us to have a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost with miracle signs and wonders. What's happened to the apostolic? We've had too much manna.
That's right.
He cut all of us. Trouble that God had with his children of Israel is always manifested, friend, in what they hungered for. Okay. What are you here tonight for? What are you hungering for? Yeah. Well, it's just another Thursday night. Okay, that's all you're going to get. But I believe we have some folks here tonight, Pastor, that need God. They need answers. They need another breakthrough. They got callings in their life. They're dealing with issues. They're dealing with sickness. They're dealing with all kinds of stuff. Come on now. Hallelujah. Watch this. While they're walking through the wilderness, this is what they say to Moses. Hey, Moses, we want to go back to Egypt. Yeah. That means. I ain't supposed to say that. They continue to say, we like the food, Mike, in Egypt. And we don't like manna, and we don't like bitter water. We want what we used to eat. And so their diet was an expression of their desire. And what they ate in Egypt, they said, we want garlic and we want onions. Because the diet in Egypt was heavy on garlic and onions. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the diet of bondage. Wow. Oh, I didn't get a whole lot of amens on that one. Explain. Hold your horses. Take it easy. Don't get ahead of the game. Yeah. Folks who have a heavy diet of garlic and onion have a foul odor to them.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let me turn it to the spiritual. In the spiritual sense, those that have a spiritual foul odor of garlic and onion, whenever they speak, you can tell folk who are bound in Egypt, because every time they open up their mouths, something foul and offensive comes out, and it's showing you to what they're still connected to. Hurry up, Glover, give me 20 minutes. Barley, just give me a song and a half. Okay, but you must serve a song and a half and a 20-minute God. I don't think so. Huh? Come on now. So God's trying to do something new. They're always complaining, always fussing. Something foul come out of their mouth because they're still in bondage. Watch this. So the Lord has been giving them manna. But to try to change their desire from bondage, they move into the beginning of the promised land. And the Bible says that the Lord cuts off the manna after they eat of the fruit of the land. They've gone from garlic and onion to manna and now fruit. Huh? The Lord says, okay, I'm trying to transition, or I'm trying to change you for you to want something better than manna, which is the fruit, which is better than garlic and onion. So I'm trying to change your desire to something better. I wish I had some folk here tonight that are believing something better is on the way. That the greater has been ordered, and God has more on the way. God is saying to us, you want a little bit? What are you hungry for, Sterling? I don't know about you. I don't want just a simple one to go to Golden Corral. I want the whole doggone meal. I just don't want salad. I just don't want a carrot. I just don't want an apple. I just don't want an orange. I want all the buffet. When I come to the house of God, I just don't want manna, Greg. I want the table that's spread of everything that we can get our hands on. Everything you need, everything you desire for, it's right here. No more manna.
Hallelujah.
I've been here for a couple of months preaching now. But I think I'm just getting warmed up.
Okay.
Don't tire out the evangelist. Don't give him too many days. Don't give him too many days. Who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Maybe another evangelist, not Lama's evangelist. You ain't going to wear me out. You might get wore out. I ain't.
Right.
Come on, watch this. Watch this, he says. He says, the manna was for what you needed just to get by. But do you desire anything greater than just enough of your needs being met? Huh? Come on now. See, everybody wants God when they need God, Brother Mike. But to grow into the land of promise, I need you to hunger for more than just need. Beyond praying, beyond breakthrough, beyond just a tingle, beyond just a good feeling. Do you have any desire for God when God has already met your needs? Do you desire more holiness? Do you hanger after righteousness? Do you thirst for a deeper, intimate relationship with God? Or do you only come to God when your bills are overdue? I'm here at church, Pastor. I got a bill. Can I have a 20? Guess I'm here, man. I'm here. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll give you a blue ribbon. Say, I am here. But I ain't been here in 6 months, but I am here. My bills are overdue. Yeah. Do you come to God or the church just when your pantry is almost bare? I'm trying to hurt nobody's feelings here tonight. When your child has gone wacko?
Yeah, sure. Always.
Huh? They ain't off at the job. I'm in church. I'm in the front row. Is your desire for God greater than your need for God? What do you hunger for tonight, Sterling? God says, I got to stop the manna because I got to put a new demand on your faith, folks. You cannot go to the next level with God with the same faith you had. Every new level of God requires a new level of faith in God. Because God is that key that unlocks the door for the next place God has prepared for you. And if you can only trust God at this level, that's the level you're going to stay. God will never usher you or me into a place that's greater than your faith of who He is.
Okay.
He said, I need to put a new demand on your faith, because the faith that you operated with, the manna in the wilderness, is not the kind of faith, folks, that's going to sustain you in the promised land. Now you're going to go, now you're not going to go eat manna. Now you're going to eat fruit. Here's the difference. The manna showed up every morning, right? The fruit, watch this. The fruit will require you taking seeds and planting it in the ground. So you need a faith that knows how to work some seed.
Yes.
Bible studies. Outreach, altar workers, tithes and offerings, tending to the church. This level of faith requires that you show the appreciation of the seed, and you know that if I got some seed and faith in God, that's really all I need to produce the fruit that's going to sustain me. See, every time you grow on God, folks, it doesn't mean that everything is going to get easier and it comes with everything attached to it. Sometimes all we got is a seed. And you've got to learn how to work the little things God has given you. But if you will work it, it will grow something. All you got to do is work the seed God has given you. When you grow in God, it doesn't get any easier. I hate to bust your apostolic bubble tonight. It gets a little bit harder. The longer He says you've been with me, the longer I expect your faith to go to work.
Right.
Not only do I need a faith that works, I need a faith that waits.
Yeah.
Because manna showed up every day, but it went away every night.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Manna, according to some history, as I can see, what was that? 2 million or 3 million prisoners that Moses led? Was it 2 million when he came out of Egypt? Something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that? Because watch, yeah, it's about 2 million or so. Watch this, yeah. Every day it came, every night it went out. 2 million. According to some theologians and some work that I've done, that manna was about 6 foot high. See, we're used to the Sunday school kiddies.
Yeah.
Waivers, 2-3 waivers and a handful of people. No, you can go back in history. 6 feet of manna every day. And it covered a square miles of a square mile of San Antonio, which is about 480 square miles. And some people think, well, we serve a little teeny-weeny God that He provides.
Yeah.
Huh? Think about every day it came, every night it left. Why? Seeds have to be sown, and you ain't got nothing to do but wait on the seed you've sown to produce forth. So here's what the Lord does. In the wilderness, you got used to something coming around a what? A 24-hour window. Right?
Yeah.
Now I got to see where you've grown to the place where you got enough faith to endure, oh, we hate to hear this, the waiting season.
Yeah.
We don't like that.
No.
For what? To believe.
Yeah.
that even if I don't show up tomorrow, that I know it's on the way. And that's not easy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not overnight. It doesn't come without some tribulation. It's all right because my faith knows how to wait on God. People that don't wait, people that wait don't give up. They don't throw in the towel. You know what you need to do? If it gets hot and sweaty and you're trying tribulation like I am tonight, take the towel, wipe your brow, and keep on going. I don't see it yet, but it's coming. I don't see it yet, but it's coming. I don't want no matter. I'm ready for the fruit. Come on, church. I've sown some seed, Lord, but I'm waiting, and it's only a matter of time. I'm faithful, and it's only a matter of time. My faith at this level can survive some dry seasons. My faith at this level can endure when it don't come easy. You have to have a faith that works and a faith that waits. And I'm stepping the manner for you to have a new delight in your heart. I want you to rejoice in something more than manna. And the Bible says the Lord stops the manna after they eat of the fruit of the land and after they celebrate Passover. We're heading home here. So just cool your jets. He said, I'm not going to stop the manna till you people know how to celebrate Passover. What is Passover? It's a celebration of what? Passover. Why? It was them looking back in their days of Egypt when the death angel was sent. And every house that was covered by the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God that we still sing blood songs. The death angel couldn't even knock on that door. The death angel had to pass over. And so the Lord says, I'm going to stop the manna and give you the fruit. When you have a good sense to pause and realize that's the only reason you are where you are. It's because a little while ago, there was something that should have knocked on your door. Yeah, on your door. On your door. But because I kept you, Sterling, and I covered you, and I protected you. Oh, there were some things that all they could do, Bishop, was pass over. Do I have anybody in the house that knows there were some things in your life that God caused to pass over? There's some things that should have happened that didn't happen. Why? Because the Lord kept you and some things passed over. You gotta understand what I just said. He says, I need you to, we sang it. I need you to rejoice in that because there's a difference between y'all right now and those gone before you. This generation that God is speaking to is going in. It's not the generation that came out of Egypt, Brother Paul. It's only about two of them that came out, Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else bit the dust. He said, this is not the generation. I feel something here. That saw the Red Sea. This is not the generation that knew Pharaoh. These are their children. Think about it. Think about it. You parents got some little ones coming up. They're watching. You can't afford to backslide. Ain't nothing to go back to. You mess up, you gonna mess them up. It's their children. The difference between you all and your mamas and your daddies is that your mamas and your daddies knew Pharaoh. They knew the Red Sea. They knew everything I'd done, and all they did was complain. They knew how good I was, and all they did was murmur and complain. It was better in Egypt. Why is it? It was better. It was so all they did was murmur and complain. I need some folk to look and say, look what I've done. If nobody thanks God for that, I know what passed over. I know what the Lord did for me, brother Mike. I know where the Lord brought me from. And you can sit there, folks, all you want to. But when I think of how good God is, and when I remember what the Lord has done, Pastor, in my life, I can't sit there all the time. I got to do something by the angles. I got to, even if I move my little pinky, Lord, you've been so good. You know what? I'm here tonight, baby, because there are some things that passed over the Lama's household. There's some things, Sister Glover, you're here tonight because he passed over. He passed over. Don't you get it, people? It is a selfish shame. It is a selfish shame that can only praise God for their own stuff. Every now and then, when somebody gets happy, it ought to encourage you to stand up. And when somebody asks you, what are you praising God for? Look at your condition. Look what you're going through. Tell them, I'm praising him for Mike. I'm praising her for it. Yes. Annette, I'm preaching God for that one, and for Esther, and for that, and for Glover, and that, and that, and that. Why? Because I thank God what he did for you. I thank God what he did for you. When you get your next blessing, don't try to figure it out. Just tell God, thank you. Sometimes that's all I can say, Mike. Thank you. He passed. Thank you. Don't try to figure it out. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as I close tonight, watch this. Don't let a spirit of distraction sit right in before you get your breakthrough. Every vision God gives you, folks, in this church. Maybe I've said it, I'll say it again. Every vision God gives you will face opposition. I made this statement before. I'm going to make it again. You don't know how strong you are until strong is your only option. The Lord is saying to us tonight, church, I have prepared for you, Sterling Pentecostal Church. I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of everything that's come up against you. Ladies and gentlemen, you, everybody, you might not preach, teach, sing, or play. Everybody in the house, you have a testimony. Don't let hell go mess up your testimony. Somebody shout, no more manna.
No more manna.
I am moving into a new season and a new place and a new desire and a whole lot of other things. Hell is after your testimony. And if you give in, and if you lose the fight, it's over. You cannot have an in walk, out walk. In walk, out God. I mean in walk, out walk in God. In walk, out walk. And expect to walk in victory. We're going to lose some stuff. We're going to scrape ourselves. Brother Mike, we're going to scrape ourselves off. But thank God, Pastor, that you have an altar at Sterling here. That I can come and say, "Oh man, I ain't feeling so hot. I may not drink and drive tonight, but you know what? God made tear ducts for us." And if you ain't never cried, sir, and if you ain't never cried, ma'am, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape.
Yes. Very good.
Because all you got to think is back, and you can count more than on your one hand of how God kept you and he passed you over. Jesus. I'm reaching for people tonight that you desperately need God tonight. Some of you don't even know if you got the real Holy Ghost. This is a good night to find out. Come on. When's the last time some of you spoke in tongues? Say, when's the last time somebody, one of you shed a tear? When's the last time you prayed for your unsaved loved ones? When's the last time you reached for one of your coworkers? Well, they cussed me out. That's okay. Keep praying for them. When's the last time you quit feeling sorry for yourself and there was a lost war out there? Well, you're being tough. No, I'm not being tough. If I want to grieve, if I'm in pain, I got an altar.
Yes.
God, you got to help me, man. You got to help me, Lord. I'm dealing with, you're the only one who can help me.
Yeah.
You got to help me through this process, God.
Yes.
I don't understand some things, but God is faithful, Brother Mike.
Yes, faithful. Yes.
I don't understand everything. No. What do you think? God is, let's stand. God is faithful. Let's stand all over the house. Come on. Come on, Sterling. He's faithful, folks. Come on. Come on. Come on. He's past. Over every one of us. And if you're not going through a pain tonight, if you're not going through a trial tonight, if you're not going to a grieving process tonight, you might not need the Holy Ghost tonight. Guess what? Then you're in good shape. So that means you get to pray with people.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. But we got some people that need a breakthrough tonight. No more manna, folks. Come on, Sterling. No more manna. Anybody ready?
Yes.
Come on, come on. Somebody holler. No more manna. One more time. No more manna. Well, come on. Come on, Sterling. Come on, Sterling Pentecostal Church. No more manna.